Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to read the whole chapter, but the real emphasis is going to be from verses 7 through 16 today. But I'll read the whole chapter. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, but who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. Great word to us this morning. Amen. Father, we want to thank you again for being here. We ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us this morning through the message that we have prepared for those that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message, Live Like Each Day Is Your Last. Live each day as if it was your last. So, Christmas is over. And we look forward to a new year, 2021. Amen. I hope you look forward to it with optimism. It couldn't be much worse than this one that we're in now. And most of us will be glad to see the back of 2020 and look forward to a new year. A new year that brings optimism, where we could take advantage of every opportunity to live life to its fullest. Amen. However, many times, as you know as well as I do, we get caught up in all the details of our daily life. We just don't take time because we're too busy to live in the moment. We've got deadlines to keep. We've got commitments to keep. We've got our problems. We've got our priorities. We've got distractions and obstacles in our way each and every day, don't we? Of course, we want our lives to be full of purpose and optimism and live every day as if it were our last, because it might be. It might be. And the older you get, the more about dying. Have you discovered that? The older you get, the more you wake up in the morning and think, well, I'm still here. Here's another day. But when you're younger, you don't think about it. So if we were asked the question, or we can ask ourselves the question, what is my purpose in life? What would you say? Probably a lot of different answers. What is your purpose in life? Some of those answers may be good. Some may say, well, I want to be a better person. That's a good thing. I want to make more money. That's not necessarily a bad thing, as long as we don't make it our God. A lot of answers, et cetera, whatever the answers may be. All those answers may be good. But if you ever asked yourself, what is my reason for living? What is my reason for living? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Now, some have asked themselves this question, and they've come to the conclusion that there is no reason to live. Coincidentally, that we learned about this morning. And sadly, people decide, and many in this particular environment of 2020, have decided to terminate their existence on earth. Very sad. People's lives are without meaning unless they find what their true purpose in life is. And St. Paul, he stated his reason for living: to be more like Jesus. Oh, to be more like Jesus. And one day we will be, but not yet. He said, I've not attained it yet, and neither have you, and neither have I. We haven't attained it yet, and we are reminded of that every day. But the purpose for life, if you look at the Westminster Catechism, the purpose for life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's the purpose. And Paul says, I want to know Christ in verse 10. I want to know him. Now he's telling us here to forget about the past. It's easier said than done, isn't it? Forget about the past. This new year, it would be good to take Paul's advice. And he says, forgetting about the past. Because some of us have a past that it's not worth remembering. Just like Paul, he had a past. He did things. He was involved in things that he was ashamed of. But he's trying to forget about those things. It's history. It's gone. So we should be looking to this new year with optimism. Amen? So that's why so many people make New Year's resolutions, don't they? I'm going to do this and I'm going to stop doing that. And one New Year's resolution we should all keep is don't make any resolutions, because we can't keep them. We find out after a little while, hey, I tried all the best that I could, but I couldn't keep them. So, hey, Why bother making them in the first place? Paul says, forget about the past. It's not worth remembering. But he did remember. He pursued. He captured. He imprisoned. He destroyed lives. He destroyed many lives of Christians. He divided families, and husbands and wives from their children. He consented to their deaths. The first martyr, the first Christian martyr was who? Stephen. He consented to his death. He stood there as they stoned him to death. And godly Stephen prayed that God would forgive those people that were stoning him because they didn't know what they were doing. Just like Jesus on the cross, he forgave those Romans. He forgave them because he said, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. How about that? How about if we had that attitude where somebody hurts our feelings and then we ask God to forgive them? Is that what we do? Get them, Lord. You know. But that's not a Christ-like attitude. We have to forgive, just like God forgave us. Amen? That's the Christ-like attitude we should have. Everything was changed when he became a believer, all because of his faith in Jesus Christ. It caused so much pain and suffering. He did so much damage to the cause of Christ. But he did all those things in ignorance, thinking he was doing God a favor. Persecuting the church, and for legalistic righteousness, faultless. He followed the law, the letter of the law, perfectly. Yet he was without the knowledge of God. Amen. Before he became a Christian, he was like most people, without the knowledge of God. He was blinded by the god of this world, the devil, to believe a lie. And he was living in darkness. Only Jesus can bring the light. And then he saw the light in the face of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We've been learning about that in the messages over Advent. I'm glad it's over. What was it, 4 or 5 messages on Christmas? Let's move on. Forget about that. We're coming into a new year. But let's not forget that Jesus is the light of the world. And then, once he received Jesus, he was a changed man. You're not the same. You're the same person, but you're not the same. You're different. And then now, in Christ, he was faced with a choice. He could either dwell on the past. He can dwell on the mistakes that he'd made and let them things control his life. Or he could forget about them. And he could move on in newness of life. He could move on, forgetting about those things in the past. It's all history. Forget about those things. Now, maybe you've had some bad experience lately, or something that may be plaguing your conscience, or maybe you remember doing something that you still regret to this day. It comes back into your mind. It reminds you of what you were involved with, and it plagues you. The memories keep coming back to haunt us. And that can keep us from living the so-called victorious Christian life that we hear so much about, and yet so few of us have attained to it. Paul says, I've not attained to it yet. This is the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. He said, I've not attained to it. I'm far from perfect, but I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. Is that what we do? Forget about the past. Press on. Let's move on. Many of us, in fact, all of us, I would say, without exception, have said things and we've done things that we're now ashamed of. But let me tell you what God says through Paul. It's time to forget the past. It's time to forget the past. It's over. It's done. It's gone. It's history. So we need to stop letting those memories of our past mistakes defeat us, to keep us down, depress us. There's nothing we can do to change it now. It's time to forget those things and move on. God forgets about those mistakes that we've made. Why shouldn't we? He expects us to do the same. He says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. No more. The slate is clean. He's washed the slate clean. All right? Isaiah 43:25. No point living in the past. It's history. A lot of people tend to live in the past. You met people like that? They're living in the past. Remember the good old days. You heard that saying? Remember the good old days. Were they that good? Some of them were. Things ain't what they used to be. Have you ever heard that one? Things ain't what they used to be. Well, they're not. Some things are a whole lot better now than they were then. But we have a selective memory. We tend to forget about the bad things that happen, but we remember the good things that happen, don't we? Or do we? We try to block those bad things that have happened out of our memory, but we remember the good things. And it seems like the older you get, the more things you remember that's in your past when you were a child. You notice that? I mean, some of you are not getting older. And you know, but, I mean, things that come up. You say, I remember that and that incident. I can see it in my mind's eye, exactly how it happened. When I was a little child, I was talking to my daughter the other day. Well, my son as well, he's got some dislocated fingers. He's with the SWAT team, you know. And he was diving on some guy's back down a staircase with the gloves on, you know, the protective gloves. And he's probably broken his trigger finger as well. And I showed my daughter a couple of fingers of mine. She says, oh, gross. I remember 5 years old, I had a three-wheeler bicycle, a tricycle, no less. And I turned it upside down, like my dad used to do to repair the puncture on the tire. And I turned the pedal around, and the wheel was spinning around. I was 5 years old, and I tried to stop the wheel from spinning around. I put two fingers in. Not recommended. And I remember things like that. 5 years old. I think I remember throwing my bottle out of the pram when I was a baby. Don't know what was in it, but I threw it away. Anyway, let's move on. Living in the past, the good old days. Things ain't what they used to be. We've got selective memories. Paul wasn't concerned about the past, whether it was good or whether it was bad. It was in the past. He knew that God had a plan for him now, here and now. And God only has good things in store for us for the future. And we read 7 and 8, whatever things were gained to me, I consider them loss. I count everything as rubbish for the loss of all things. I consider them garbage, so I might gain Christ. He wasn't concerned about the good and the bad of the past. His purpose for living now was to serve the Lord and to be more like Jesus. That should be our goal, Christian. Is there a better role model? Is there ever been a better role model? Who's ever lived? Oh, to be more like Jesus. Let's have an optimistic attitude as we see the back of 2020 and look forward in optimism to a new year, 2021. Could it get much worse? I'll leave that up to the Lord. Just read the word. Eventually it will. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's what he was looking forward to. Not what's gone on in the past. It would help us to have the same optimistic attitude as he did. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So it's a lot easier to live in the past and to look to the future than to live in the present, in the here and now. Because living in the present is more of a challenge than looking back and looking forward. It's more of a challenge to us to live every day like Jesus did. Then we have no excuses to be more like Jesus, you see, because we're not looking back, we're not looking forward. It's a challenge to be more like Jesus each and every day, isn't it? Oh, but we make excuses. We make resolutions we can't keep. See, if we're looking ahead and we're looking back, we're not living for the now. We make excuses for ourselves. We say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Or one of these days, one of these days, I'll do something about my temper. One of these days, see, we're looking ahead, you see, but that doesn't help us now to live more like Jesus. One of these days, I'll do something about my tongue. It's like an asp. It's a wicked snake that stings people and hurts people and poisons people. And that's the biggest problem that we've got. It's the smallest member in our body, but the most dangerous and uncontrollable. Have you found that yet? One of these days, I'll do something about my attitude. My attitude. My besetting sins. One of these days, I'll do something about that. One of these days, I'll do something about my walk with the Lord. One of these days, I'll read my Bible more often. One of these days, I'm going to be different with my relationship with the Lord, my relationship with other people, and my faithfulness to God. One of these days, etc., etc. We make New Year's resolutions, hoping to be a better person, hoping to be more like Jesus, but soon we discover there's no change. Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. There's no change. Well, if we have that attitude, there never will be any change. We never will be more like Jesus. We're just the same as we ever were before. Regardless of our good intentions and our own willpower will never solve our real problem. Our problem is sin. Sin. We have to recognize it. All those things that we've mentioned, the temper, the tongue, the attitude, the besetting sins, it all is encompassed in one three-letter word, sin. Sin. But there's good news. If we can focus upon Jesus, who's already won the victory on the cross over our sins, it's then that we can allow the Holy Spirit to control our life, to control our thought life, to be more Christ-like. It's not easy, is it? No, but it's possible. As long as we keep our thought life in check and be controlled by the Holy Spirit to control our thought life, to be more Christ-like, instead of allowing the old selfish nature to predominate our life. But practically, how can we live the so-called victorious Christian life? To have a Christ-like attitude. Christ-like attitude. We need to read the Bible every day. We need to make time to do that every single day. We need to keep praying continually, have an attitude of prayer. We need to confess our sins. When we blow it, which we will because we're human, we say something or we think something or we do something that the Holy Spirit, he pricks our conscience and he says, that's not right, that's wrong, that's sin. We have to acknowledge it, confess it to God. He forgets about it and we can move on. Amen? So that we need to read our Bibles, we need to pray, we need to confess. And it all begins in the mind, our mind. And we're told in Romans 12, it says this, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it's all about the renewing of our minds. And that may take longer for others than it does for some others. But you've heard the saying, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. So why don't we start this new year by living in the present? Daily putting our life in the hands of the one who gave us the victory. He's won the victory on our behalf. He's given us the victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. To simply rely on him each day, to trust him every day, to control every aspect of our lives. Wouldn't that be wonderful? What a difference it would make in our life, in the life of others we come into contact with, in the world that we, the people that we associate with. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Isn't that something to strive for? But not in the flesh. Don't strive in the flesh because that's selfish. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through you to be more Christ-like by renewing our minds. How do we do that? Read the Bible, pray, confess our sins so we can be controlled. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through us as we focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not living in the past. It's gone. We choose to live each day as it comes, day by day, by the grace of God. God doesn't want us to waste our time, to waste our lives away regretting the past. He wants us to live life to its fullest. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, which we have, Christian, but also to have it more abundantly. Are you living the abundant Christian life? So let's not put off tomorrow what we can do today. To be more like Jesus, that was Paul's goal. Tomorrow may never come. To be more like Jesus can happen. One day it will happen. Let's stop trying to drive our own life and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to control the wheel. Who was that song? What's her name? The singer who won American Idol. The Christian lady. Jesus, take the wheel, she sang. Who? Excellent. Very good. Carrie Underwood. There's a song called Jesus Take the Wheel. Let's just give him the wheel. Stop trying to drive our own life. And one day, let's just end on an optimistic note. One day we'll be like him. And let's finish in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says this, the same fellow that the Lord used to write this book, Philippians, Paul, who had a wicked past that wanted just to forget about it and move on and live for the here and now to be more like Jesus. But he was optimistic regarding the future because he knew where he was going, you see, because his name was written in heaven. And he includes us in this verse, which I quote now, being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So, God is in the process of conforming us to the image of Jesus if we allow him to. So it is a challenge to live for the here and now rather than looking back or looking ahead. Amen? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. So Father, there was one thing to say these things and agree with it, but it's another thing to put it into practice. And the more that we try in our own willpower to be more like you, it just doesn't work. The old sin nature rears its ugly head way too frequently, our attitude. But help us yield to you, your Holy Spirit. Remember that you won the victory on the cross over the sin, the flesh, and the devil. And you rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. And now we have the power in us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to yield to your Holy Spirit and not function in the old man that is opposed to your Spirit. Help us to forget about those things that we are now ashamed of, that the devil will remind us about, the things that we may have done. And remember that you remember our sins no more. And forget about those things. Forget about the past, it's history. And indeed, look forward to be like you, which we will eventually. What you started in us at the new birth, you will complete. When we meet you face to face, we'll be more like you. We will be like you. But in the meantime, let us have the attitude to be more like Jesus. And we can do those things if we make the effort to read the Word of God, to read about you and your life and what you were like, to confess our sins when they crop up, and to pray, the power of prayer. No prayer, no power. So help us to remember this message and look forward with optimism to this new year, 2021, and forget about the past. It's over. It's history. There may be somebody listening to this message. You've never received Jesus as your Savior. You may be regretting things, the way you've lived and the things that you've done. Well, God can forget about those things if you receive his Son, Jesus. And I hope and pray that you will. And you'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.